Hello and welcome to The Top Story, a podcast with the headlines of the day from our correspondents around the world. I'm Tian Yu. Coming up in this edition, Israel has agreed to send a delegation to the U.S. to discuss their planned offensive in Rafah. Haiti has named six members in its transitional presidential council that will create a new government and plan for elections. And widespread blackouts and food shortages in Cuba have sparked a wave of protests. We begin with the Middle East. Israel has agreed to send a delegation to the U.S. to discuss their offensive in Rafah, the last refuge in Gaza for more than a million displaced people. This came after Israel rejected a plea from U.S. President Joe Biden to call off a planned ground assault on the city. Hamas media said late on Tuesday that an Israeli airstrike on a major roundabout killed 30 people from groups that were formed to secure the entry of aid trucks into Gaza. Sam Metnick with the Associated Press reports from Jerusalem.
Officials in Qatar on Tuesday said they were cautiously optimistic about talks with Israel's intelligence chief in Doha. These talks began early this week when Israel sent a delegation to discuss Hamas's latest ceasefire proposal. Now, while the Qataris expressed optimism, they still said it was too soon to say that a deal would soon be reached. They also said it was too soon to celebrate any successes. This comes while Israel is expecting to send a team to the United States to discuss its impending offensive in Rafah. Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has defied international pressure, saying he is going to go into Rafah, where about 1.5 million people are sheltering. This is in the south of Gaza. Still, he said he was sending a team to the United States out of respect for them and to hear what they had to say. Let's listen to what Netanyahu had to say.
We have an argument with the Americans about the need to enter Rafah, not about the need to eliminate Hamas, the need to enter Rafah. We see no way to eliminate Hamas militarily without destroying these remaining battalions. We are determined to do it.
Netanyahu says that there are still about four Hamas groups operating in Rafah, and that if they stop the war now before Israel has achieved all of its war aims, which includes eradicating Hamas, that Israel will lose the war. Also on Tuesday, the United Nations top human rights chief Volker Turk said that Israeli restrictions on aid could amount to Israel using starvation as a weapon of war, which is a war crime. This comes a day after the United Nations and aid groups released an alarming report saying that famine was imminent in northern Gaza, and that by July there could be more than 1 million people facing catastrophic levels of hunger. Aid groups have been warning for months that it is getting harder and harder to get assistance into Gaza and getting harder to get it to the people who need it. Countries are trying everything they can to get aid in. For this first time, shipment of aid came by sea. There's another shipment that is supposed to come by sea, but it has been held up due to bad weather. I've spoken to people in Gaza. They say that it is incredibly hard to get food, that the food that they find is double in price. It's hard to get money. The bank machines don't work, or they don't have money in them. They say sometimes that when there are airdrops coming, they land on buildings that they don't have access to.
That was Sam Menick reporting from Jerusalem. Turning to the Americas, Haiti has named six members in its transitional presidential council that will create a new government and plan for elections. Outgoing Prime Minister Ariel Henry has promised to step down once the council is officially installed. This comes as gun violence continues to surge in Port-au-Prince, with schools, hospitals, and government buildings under attack. Nisa Soda Perez reports from Miami.
Monday marked the deadliest day yet in the escalating turmoil gripping Haiti, with dozens losing their lives in senseless violence. People wept and gathered as bodies were recovered from the affluent suburb of Pétionville in Haiti's capital. Gunmen looted homes in other upscale communities as well. Residents fled in fear as some even called radio stations to make desperate appeals for police intervention. As violence tightens its grip on Haiti, international efforts are underway to address the power vacuum created by weeks of rampant gang violence. Meanwhile, the Dominican Republic, which shares the island of Hispaniola with Haiti, continues to deport Haitians who cross the border despite the bloodshed. Haitians in the United States without proper papers also remain subject to deportation.
Calls are mounting for U.S. President Biden to extend a temporary protected status for Haitian migrants already in the U.S. illegally. While the Florida Republican delegation is urging the White House to allow the Navy to carry out interdictions at sea of Haitian migrants fleeing the chaos of their homeland.
The U.S. State Department describes the security situation as untenable after evacuating dozens of American citizens on a chartered flight over the weekend. Officials said Monday they've received at least 1,000 requests for help or escape from U.S. citizens who remain in Haiti.
That was Nisasoda Perez reporting from Miami. Widespread blackouts and food shortages in Cuba have sparked a wave of protests over the weekend. Hundreds took to the streets in at least 5 locations around the country demanding adequate food and power amid the nation's worsening economic crisis. Havana has rebuked remarks by U.S. officials who have publicly labeled the problem as a human rights issue. Luis Torino reports from Havana.
Demonstrators took to the streets in Cuba's second largest city, Santiago de Cuba, around 800 kilometers east of Havana, and in 4 other communities, including Matanzas City. In Santiago and other places, protesters met with authorities who listened to their criticisms and explained government efforts to ease the current situation. No disruption of the civil order or arrests were reported. Cubans have endured power blackouts that have lasted 18 hours and in some cases for more than a day. Officials say the power disruptions were due to shortages of fuel to generate electricity and keep stocks of frozen food refrigerated. Amid the protests, some U.S. lawmakers posted messages on X criticizing the Cuban government. U.S. embassy officials also urged respect for human rights, which Cuba criticized as inappropriate. The Cuban Foreign Ministry summoned U.S. Chargé d'Affaires Benjamin Siff to deliver a protest note over statements posted by U.S. officials that Cuba considered interference in the country's internal affairs and slanderous. Cuban President Miguel Díaz-Canel also denounced what he called terrorists in the United States. He posted remarks on X saying they are enemies of the revolution, taking advantage of the situation to destabilize Cuba. Following Sunday's events, Cuba's top government authorities reiterated their commitment to listen to the people's demands and find solutions to, quote, improve the situation, always in an atmosphere of tranquility.
That was Luis Torino reporting on the waves of protests in Cuba. In Australia, Chinese Foreign Minister Wang Yi says China-Australia relations have been back on the right track, and he calls on both countries to steer bilateral ties towards new heights. Wang made the remarks while meeting with Prime Minister Anthony Albanese in Canberra. Albanese said Australia is willing to deepen cooperation with China in all fields and stressed that divergence of opinion should not hamper the country's engagement with China. The Prime Minister also reiterated his government's adherence to the One China principle. Earlier, Wang Yi and his Australian counterpart Penny Wong co-chaired the China-Australia Foreign and Strategic Dialogue in Canberra. This is the 6th meeting between the two officials to date. Wang Yi said political mutual trust has improved as more meetings occur. This is the foreign minister's first trip to Australia in 7 years. Do Hongyu takes a closer look.
Reviewing 10 years of their comprehensive strategic partnership, Wang Yi said China never interferes in Australia's domestic affairs and respects Australia's system and path. Regarding China's sovereignty, dignity, and legitimate concerns, he said China hopes Australia will continue to abide by the commitments it has made. The senior diplomat said the two sides should seek common ground while reserving differences. Wang Yi said the two economies are highly complementary with great potential, noting that 80% of Australia's trade surplus came from China last year. The foreign minister said the two countries should work together to provide a good business environment and uphold win-win cooperation. He also stressed China-Australia relations are on the right track and they must not hesitate, deviate, or turn back. Also in Canberra, Wang Yi met Australian representatives from different sectors, including those from the business and strategic communities. He expressed his appreciation to them for their efforts to promote friendship and cooperation between the two countries. Wang also reaffirmed China's commitment to multilateralism and win-win cooperation. He said China's door will open only wider and the country will continue to foster more favorable conditions for overseas enterprises.
That was De Hongyu reporting. Finally, in Africa, Tunisians and Libyan authorities say they have closed a major border crossing point at Ras Jadir following armed clashes. Tunisian media say the closure was to ensure the safety of Tunisians going to Libya. The Libyan Interior Ministry says outlaws had attacked the border point on the Libyan side. The border crossing usually sees a large number of Libyans going to Tunisia to seek medical treatment and trucks from Tunisia ferrying goods to Libya. Libyan security forces have now been deployed at the border to enhance security and curb smuggling. Adlel Marouki has more.
Well, right now it seems that calm has been maintained and then those who have ignited violence earlier have been arrested. This comes as part of an official statement of the Zoura municipality, which is responsible for Ras Jadir crossing between Tunisia and Libya. But there is no indication yet that the crossing has been open and back to its regular operating hours. Ras Jadir is one of three access points between Libya and Tunisia. And because of the incidents that happened and the shutting down of Ras Jadir, which accommodates one of the biggest flows and influx of people crossing between Tunisia and Libya. Because of this shutdown, there has been a huge traffic and demand on the other two crossings between the two countries, causing a lot of delay, huge crowds and traffics, and of course, a lot of interruptions to this regular flow of civilians, many of which are people who go to Tunisia for health care and other essential services that are missing in Libya because of the ongoing crisis.
That was Adlel Marouki reporting on the closure of a major Tunisian-Libyan border crossing. Recapping today's headlines, Israel has agreed to send a delegation to the U.S. to discuss their planned offensive in Rafah. Haiti has named 6 members in its transitional presidential council that will create a new government and plan for elections. And widespread blackouts and food shortages in Cuba have sparked a wave of protests. And that's it for this edition of The Top Story, a podcast that brings you world headlines every weekday. For more news in politics, business, sports, and culture, you can subscribe to The Beijing Hour, a one-hour podcast news magazine program. We welcome and appreciate all ratings and reviews. I'm Tian Yu. Thank you for listening.